In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In this life as we know it, amen, we are often concerned with many things. We wonder how we'll provide for our families. We wonder how things will work out for us. We're concerned about our jobs. We wonder what will happen if we get sick. This and that happens. We don't understand how we're going to make it. We have so many thoughts and so many concerns and so little peace. Am I the only one here that wonders what's going to happen day to day? Wonders about their family, wonder what the things that are going to take place? Well, this morning I have good news. The Word of God says to take no thought. You see, the Lord our God has made it such a way. He knows that this life has distractions. He knows that there are things that will constantly pull us away from Him. Things that will lead us astray. Things that will cause us to be stressful when He has called us to peace. So the word that the Lord laid on my heart this morning is simple. Take no thought. Amen. The things that we take so much concern for that cloud our walk and keep us from seeking the kingdom of God, God has called Himself the provider, and we must believe. We worry about far too much. We stumble by attempting to do what God said He would do. We must stop and believe. We must trust in God and not worry about tomorrow. Let us read Matthew chapter 6 and verses 24 through 34. The Word of God reads, "No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought could add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, whether all shall we be clothed. For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of, these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Amen. Now, God has told us something. In verse 24, he says, no man, not me, not you, not your neighbor, not the most sophisticated, but it says no man can serve two masters. We can try, but in the end it's not possible to please either. And I was looking at my life and looking at my financial condition, and I want to thank the Lord that he's forgiven me a good job. But all of my life I have had a focus towards money and prosperity and to grow and to be well taken care of. And I learned that if you focus, if your love is on the things of the world, if your love is on money or making gain for yourself, you will not have the relationship that God wants you to have. You will have a relationship where it's all about what you can do for yourself instead of allowing God to work in your life. Amen.
Amen.
So we cannot serve two masters. As a Christian, we often say that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, but how often do we trust in Him to take care of our physical, our spiritual, our food and our clothing, when He says clearly in His Word and has proved it in His Word that He will do these things. Amen. So He says, no man can serve two masters. We can try, but in the end, it's not possible. In this life, we can either have God rule us or the love of money rule us. The Scripture is not saying not to work. The Scripture is saying don't seek wealth. Don't seek these things. It's not saying to stop your job and stop doing anything else, but it says you can live on manna. You don't always have to have steak, amen. Sometimes Christians add extra burdens to their life because they want more than what they need. God will never give you more than what you need. When he was leading the children through Egypt, he gave them manna. He gave them the bare necessities for them to make it. They wanted scallions and onions and cucumbers and leeks and garlic, but God gave them what they needed to sustain and to live. And so many times we gear ourselves to the things of the world so that we can have more than manna. So we can have more than what we need. We don't need 6 TVs and cable television. But we look for these things and we try to gain these things. And in the end, it puts us in a pit. Because while we are out trying to acquire things, God is trying to require us to serve. So we have to make a decision. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to take God at His word and trust Him to provide for us? Because we have to. Amen. Otherwise, inevitably, we might not admit it, but we serve two masters. God says you can't do this. Amen. So in Matthew 6 and 25, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat or what you should drink, not yet for your body. What shall you put on? Is the life not more than the meat, and the body more than raiment?" We are commanded, amen, a commandment. You see, Jesus doesn't give good advice. He didn't speak for us to make a decision off of what He said. It wasn't a conversation to where we were to give feedback or to say, "Well, Lord, you know, that sounds good, but you know, I got to do this and I got to do that." No, the Lord gives a commandment. The commandment is to take no thought. Don't worry about it. Don't do it. Don't think about what you're going to eat. Don't think about what you're going to drink. Don't think about how you're going to dress yourself. I'll take care of that. You see, I'm reminded, and the Lord shows me these things. My little son, Jeremiah, he's my child, and we are God's children. He don't know what to wear. He don't know what to put on. He doesn't know what to eat. But his heavenly father, his natural father, takes care of those things. And his natural mother takes care of those things. If a natural mother and dad take care of their children, how much more do you think God in heaven is able to take care of you? You see, He shows us in the natural what He can do in the spiritual. And we need to let God clothe us. We need to let God feed us. And if He fed me, I wouldn't be so fat. But I take thought for what I'll eat and drink. And the Lord is making a clear decision. He has set us apart so that we can be different, not the same as everybody else. And what makes us different than everybody else is how we serve the Lord. Let Him take care of these things. Amen. All right. We're commanded a commandment to take no thought. We'll waste more time making plans for our life than God has allowed. How God wants us to be, amen, is how we're going to be. It says, don't be concerned about breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Don't be concerned about your lotion and perfume. I get tickled sometimes when I go to the store to buy things. How much people will pay for a pair of jeans? I went to a store one time, $300 for a pair of jeans? What is wrong with people? You know how many hours I'd have to work unnecessarily to buy a $300 pair of jeans? At least 15 hours. But what we have to learn here is if our focus is on heaven, if our focus is on Jesus, He said, "I will provide these things for you." I don't think we try God enough to see that He'll provide, amen? Amen. Because the moment you start to do something by yourself, you are by yourself. But the moment you trust in God, you have heaven on your side. Amen. So many times we make the mistake trying to do what God has told us not to do. I wonder how much money I would have saved if I let God clothe me. Because I know if y'all know about God's clothing, it comes with a 40-year guarantee. A 40-year money-back guarantee. I don't know about you, but when you read, when he's crossing through the desert, the Word of God reads in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that they might make thee know that a man doeth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord thy God doeth a man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Supernatural. How many pairs of clothing do you think you'll need if they don't wear out for 40 years? I can wear a hole through a pair of pants in 3 months. But when you allow God to bless you, when you receive a gift from God, they're everlasting. There is no gift from God that's not everlasting. So as a child of God, we need to position ourselves for things that are everlasting. Amen? God's gifts, His callings are without repentance. So as a child of God, when we get the right picture, the Lord knows for a fact that these things will cloud us. If all that we do is wonder how we're going to pay the rent and how we're going to get food on the table, where is the time for Jesus? Where is the time for the kingdom? We have to trust that God will provide for us.
Amen.
It is a commandment for your growth. Amen.
Amen.
How much have you wasted in your life worrying about things that Jesus said he'll take care of?
Well,
how many years spent have you just, I don't know what I'm going to do? When the Lord says, He didn't say it like he didn't know he could do it. He didn't say, take no thought for your life. I know what you have need of. When the Lord speaks, he speaks with confidence. The Lord can do these things. You know how I know? He proves it every single day. It says, none of these things matter if you're lost. You see, you can have all the food, all the clothing, all of the finest design, the most wonderful house. But let me tell you, none of those things matter if you're lost. Jesus said, look at your spiritual condition. Look for your soul. Take care of your body first. Take care of your spiritual need first. Take care of getting saved first. Because you can have everything else in the world. But if you don't have Jesus, what's it for? What's it for? It's a waste. Remember the man who said, lo, I've laid up much goods. I'll take back and take my ease. He took no thought for his spiritual life. You see, we're to take no thought for this natural life, but to take great concern for our walk with God. So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He knows what you have need of, but he has to deal with the inner you first.
Well,
he doesn't cover up the sin. He deals with the sin first. What good does it do to dress up a pig if the pig ain't been converted? It's still a pig. What good does it do to dress up a sinner? There are many people that look good. There are many people that dress well. But if they are not saved, they are full of dead men's bones.
That's right.
So we are told to don't worry about these things. I don't care what you wear. I care rather more is your life right with Jesus.
Amen.
He says none of these things matter if your soul and your eternal vision is far more important than your physical state. We must do something first. We must seek the kingdom. So the Lord, imagine his disciples hearing this. They say, Lord, how are you going to provide for us? Do you realize that when we don't trust in God, we are really saying, how are you going to provide for us? When we do things in our own effort, in our own strength, we're saying to God, this really can't provide for us. We really don't believe that you can do it. So Jesus gives us some more scriptures to prove that he does it every single day. He says, behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? The Lord gives us an example. What have you seen a bird do ever?
Fly worms.
Birds do what birds do. They're birds. They don't have hands to build a house. They can't swipe the clock to clock in. Wouldn't it be silly to have a little bird and to start talking to the bird about the economy? You know, birds are kind of real bad. Everything is going astray. Birds are fast to meet. He takes no thought for these things. Because God provides for the bird. And says, if I'll take care of a little bird, the fowl of the air that don't do anything, that doesn't reap, that doesn't sow, that doesn't plant seed, that doesn't pull out the harvest, if I can take care of them, I can take care of you. I want y'all to understand this morning that God caused the crumb to fall. God will cause the crumb to fall for you when you believe in him. You'd be walking around just focusing on the things of God, and Jesus did this very thing in his ministry. His eyes were on the kingdom, and while he was out doing God's work, it says many came and ministered unto him, gave him the things that he needed. God knows how to send someone to bless you. He knows how to send a raven while you're out in the wilderness to feed you. He has proven it time and time again that he can do this. He did it for millions of people going through Egypt, going through the desert. God has done this. It is a fact that's in the history book that he can feed, he can provide, he can clothe. And when God clothes us, let me tell you,
amen.
The rain is so white. It's so perfect. It's so beautiful. But I'm trying to tell you this morning, we have to allow ourselves to let God work in our lives. Lay down your life. Lay down your thoughts. Lay down your desires. Lay down what you think is important and embrace the walk of God. Embrace the kingdom, amen. Because God has more in store for you than always wondering what's going to happen next. The Lord gives us an example, amen. God in heaven provides for us. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit into his stature? Think of that for a second. I can think all I want. I can say, you know what? I think I'm going to be 7 feet tall. I think I'm going to be a Chinese person. All the thoughts that you can think don't change one thing. Almost everything is set in place by God. You're not going to change the way you look. You're not going to change the color of your skin. You're not going to change your height. You might be able to change your weight. But you can't, by thinking, make yourself any better. I can't make myself Albert Einstein. I can read all the books, but if that's not what God has written in the books for me, it's not going to happen. So he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? You can think of everything in the world. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. Amen. We can't change these things. So God told us not to waste our time. He says in verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Now we all know Solomon. He built the most glorious temple for the Lord. Glorious temple. People could see it and they were just in awe of the splendor. But God is saying, in all of Solomon's ability, and all the things that Solomon has been able to make with his hands, this one little flower, this little lily, is of more complexity than this one building. This one little lily is more beautiful than anything that a man can make. What God has made is what is beautiful. What we make, anything our hands make, is his wood hands. So it's nothing compared to what God has made. Sometimes I marvel when I go to the zoo and I see all these creations that God has made. Man in his best day could not even make one thing as beautiful as God. Man in his most wonderful hour could not compare to God. And we have to learn that I can't change me. I can't do anything, but what I can do is I can seek and I can find the will of God for my life, that I can fulfill my role that God has called me to be.
Amen.
Or called me to. That I work the works of the one who sent me, that I know the will and I know the work that God has me to do. So don't worry about these little trivial things. God knows how to provide.
Amen.
But if you focus more on these trivial things that God says I'll take good care of them, you will find yourself never finding the kingdom. Because on your walk to the kingdom, I'm on the way to heaven. Oh, I see glory land. Oh, man, I got bills due. Now ask yourself, are the bills a result from God telling you to create these bills? HBO, Cinemax, Starz. Are they a result of you not seeking the kingdom and just trying to add to yourself? When you add to yourself, you add burdens to yourself. But with godliness, it is great gain, amen? So we have to learn not to add unnecessary things to our life. So why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither they spin. And yet I say unto you, Solomon all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Well, the word of God is saying there is no need for Macy's or the men's warehouse. God will make you beautiful. Just think the kingdom. The lilies God made are more beautiful than any outfit because they clothe the entire grass, the field. And sometimes you, in the summertime, you'd be looking and say, man, that's just beautiful. You ever walk through a valley and just see all the different colors and you can't say, but that's just beautiful. It's because God has made it. And the same way that he's worked a work in a lily, the same way that he feeds the fowls, if we will allow God to do it for us, he will give us the things that are everlasting. He said, if I can feed the birds, I can feed you. If I can clothe the earth, which tomorrow is, in verse 30, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow's cast in others, shall he not much more clothe you? And here's the true condition. He says, O ye of little faith. If we will allow our faith to increase and our doubt to decrease, you'll see God's grace more efficient in your life. You know, the other day, this week was President's Day. I want to tell you about some unwavering faith. Pick on Jennifer for a second. And our trash day is normally on Thursday. Thursday night you put the trash out for the next day. And every time there's a holiday, it moves the trash day down. So they only came to pick up our trash on Friday. And Jenna's like, no, they're going to pick up the trash tomorrow. They're going to pick up. And I said, no, they're not. Oh, yes, they are. Oh, no, they're not. Oh, yes, they are. And I couldn't say nothing to persuade her not to believe that the trash man was going to come on Saturday. Trash man don't come on Saturday. But the point is this. She believed it. She had faith that it was going to happen. And nothing can persuade her differently. When it comes to the Word of God, we are to have faith because we know it's going to happen. Because it's written. What God says is final. It's permanent. So He gives us the Word that we need so that we can believe. So when He says, take no thought, I know what you have need of, that's what we need to believe. We need to stop questioning God as if He's not God. What kind of a father does not feed his children? We call them deadbeat dads. We don't have a deadbeat Savior, amen.
Amen.
So He says, though you have little faith, if we believe in God for what we need, we will find ourselves concerned with the things of God and not the things of this world. You know why people work? To get the things that God said He'd provide. In all honesty, why do you work? To get the things that you want. God says we can live off of manna and His word. He says man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. God says all we need is some manna and the word. That's it. All we need is to trust in Him and to believe in Him. Do you know how much trusting and believing costs? Not a thing. I was speaking to my friend in Louisiana the other day, and I said, Corey, I don't believe God has called me to work at a job 80 hours a week, or 40 hours a week, and by the time I'm 40, I just look back and think, man, I missed it. Because we work so much and so much and so much in this world and give so little time to the things of God. It's not supposed to be that way. When we believe in God, He takes care of our needs. Amen. How do I know there were 12 men that He called? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. See, the apostles, they had only the word. Jesus had commanded them, take no purse, don't take an extra pair of shoes, just trust and believe, amen. And I hope that God will cause us to trust and believe, because the bottom line is we have to. See, it was a commandment. It wasn't something that we could say yes or no to. But in verse 31 it says, therefore, the conclusion, therefore take no thought, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what well shall we be clothed. For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. The commandment is more weighty than our concerns. God tells us not to take thought. Don't worry about it. What are you going to put on tomorrow, Angela? Don't worry about it. When we dress ourselves, we dress wrong. Ask Jenna. I go to work. People say, who dressed you? I'm a kind of pick up and go kind of guy. But the lesson to be learned here is that the moment we stop taking thought for our life, we can see the true life. Amen. So we're told all these things so that we don't have to worry when we trust in God. Because trusting in God is the hardest thing in the world, I think, for some people, for most people. Because when you say, how can Abraham just go out and leave his family, leave his comfort zone, and just follow God in true obedience? It's not something easy to do. But when we have these assurances that if you trust in me, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging for bread. Let's not stumble at taking no thought. God wants to fill your mind with peace, with comfort, with love, with joy, with the visions of the kingdom. But if we are always looking to what we have to do and try to build up on something God said He'll take care of, we make a big mistake, amen? So I want us all to learn today to take no thought. We must strive to keep our affections off the things of this world. We don't need to do what Calvin says. We don't need to do what the commercial says. My favorite one out there right now is get a double quarter pounder with cheese. Get some manna. We have to learn to decrease what we engage ourselves in, because the only reason we work is to pay bills. Would any of you work if you didn't have bills to pay? Who here would work if you didn't have bills to pay? So we need to, as Christians, learn to get what we need to make it. Manna. And to lay away these other things. There wouldn't be any need for me to work 40 hours a week if all my bills were $800 a month. It can be done in this society. But because we've taken thought for our life, because we like our leather furniture and our plasma TVs, we like our Mercedes Benz and our Cadillac, that we add so many things that are unnecessary that it chokes our life and our spiritual walk, because while we're trying to go forward, debt holds us back. So the Lord says, I'll take care of your primary debts, your food, your bedding, your clothing. What's left? If God says, I'll take care of your food bill, I'll take care of your clothes bill, and I'll take care of your house bill, what's left but to believe? But because we think we need a big house and a big mortgage and a big car payment, we keep ourselves from being free to do the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
Paul was able to make it building tents. Some made it through offering, and some made it off the raven. You take God at his word, and you'll find a new supply line coming to your life. You're like, where did this come from? I didn't buy any food. And what is this? Trust God for a moment. Let the world go. Because there's such peace when you can simply say, Father, I believe your word. Father, I'm going to take you at your word, and I'm going to go forward. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how everything's going to happen. I don't know how everything's going to fall together, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to try you. He said, prove to me. Try me. And I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. When we offer to God the correct thing, not just Sunday morning, not just I finally got off work, kicked back my shoes, and prayed for 2 seconds, but when we start seeking the kingdom first, and you see, when you seek the kingdom, that's when you find life. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew Henry put it so well. He wrote in his commentary, our duty is to seek, to desire, pursue, and to aim at these things. The object of our seeking is the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we must mind heaven as our end and holiness as our way. Seek the comforts of the kingdom and the grace of his glory. Aim at the kingdom of heaven. Press toward it. Give diligence to make it sure. Resolve not to take it up short of it. Seek for this glory, honor, and immortality. Prefer heaven to heavenly blessings far above the earth and earthly delights. And this was when I read this, it kind of hit me. It said, we make nothing of our religion if we do not make heaven of it. You know what that means? We make nothing of our religion if our religion does not cause us to enter into heaven. What's the point of going through a life that doesn't lead to everlasting life? What's the point of doing all the things we think we need to do if in the end the Lord doesn't say, well done, my good and faithful servant? What if in the end all we can say is, Lord, throughout my life, I provided for me and my family? What do you think God will say? You provided for you and your family? Or does the word say that I will provide? Amen.
Amen.
So if we want God to, so many times we want God to be the God of the Bible, but we need to trust God. Amen. We need to give to God. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take care of the things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here's what we are to do, to seek the kingdom, to follow God's plan, and we'll find the provision for our lives. Amen. I shall stand this morning. I know it's not a shouting message, but the bottom line is this. Take no thought. Again, it's not telling you to quit your job. stop adding things to your life that are unnecessary. It's not going to make you a better person. It's not going to make you a better singer, a better dancer, a better Christian. Trust in God in obedience and allow Him to bless you. A 40-year guarantee, amen. Tires on the car lasted 40 years. Engine didn't go out. It had over 500,000 miles on it. When God gives you what you need, it's not going to fail. God's money doesn't fail. Don't you know that God's $1 goes further than 100 of man's? If God is behind you, if God is supporting you and giving you what you need, you don't have to worry, amen. If you need prayer this morning, you may come. If you need salvation, the altars are always open. The main thing I want you to have is peace. We have so much confusion, and God is saying, peace. Lay it down and pick me up. Lay it down and trust me. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen. 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 Amen.